All right, Ben, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Ben Klinkenbeard, and I've been working as a developer for about 15 years now. I do a lot of consulting and some teaching and some training, and my focus for the last 6 or 7 years has been largely around data visualization.
What sort of data viz stuff have you done? Is anything public that people could check out? Or
you could, but you probably haven't. The thing that really sort of got me into it was a multi-year project back when I was still doing Adobe Flex development. I did a major project for the Colorado Department of Education, which was then sort of adopted by other state departments of education. I think it ended up in 5 or 6 states. And we were essentially visualizing aggregate standardized test data for students in the various states. And so we were working with statisticians and policy people to sort of help them comb through their data and say, you know, are girls doing as well as boys in this district over here? And, you know, are certain grades in certain districts doing better than others? And sort of trying to enable smart decisions by non-technical people. And I was in that for a few years, and it's just sort of stuck and evolved into other data viz related stuff. So I've always enjoyed it.
Cool. So with the data viz stuff you've done, is there like a super huge data set you've ever had to tackle that you thought was just like super fun to deal with, or have you found the data to always been messed up and unorganized? And
the data is usually pretty decent by the time it gets to the application, or at least to the front end of the application, which is where I've spent most of my time. Data cleaning and prep and formatting and things like that has definitely been a major task that's sort of, you know, behind the scenes and you don't always think about, but that's definitely a major, major source of the time that gets put into projects like that, is just making sure that the data is right and usable and suits your needs.
That's the kind of stuff I've had to deal with. So my mind always goes there when thinking about data, is cleaning it up, cleaning it up, cleaning it up.
Somebody's got to do it. I'm just glad it's not usually me. So,
yeah, right on. So let's talk about what you're working on now. You want to kind of introduce it a bit, the D3 in 5 days and all the
related
bits?
Yeah. So about 3 years ago, I went out on my own to be an independent consultant, and part of that has been, you know, an effort to create my own info products and things like that. So, you know, I do the bulk of my work is direct consulting with clients, but I've started to build up sort of some content. And, you know, not surprisingly, I've chosen to focus on the data visualization space, and in particular, D3JS, which has sort of emerged as, you know, I always refer to it as the de facto standard data viz library in the job.
I can't think of any others.
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of things out there. If you want, you know, charts out of the box, if you want to be able to say, give me a new bar chart and sort of that be the end of it, there's plenty of options. But if you really want that low level control to build your own visualizations and sort of go beyond the basic chart types, you're right. There's not really another choice that comes to mind besides D3.
Can you give a bit, if people haven't heard of D3 before, is there a 10-second intro to it of what it is?
Sure. So the name D3 comes from data-driven documents, and it really sort of lives up to that name behind the scenes, because the way D3 tends to work is it has you write declarative code sort of about what you want to do to sort of morph your data into, you know, a document of markup, which usually takes the form of SVG. And so you essentially tell D3 more or less, here's this place on the page that I want to build something. Here's the data that I want to build into it. And then here's sort of a set of steps that I want you to take I shouldn't even say that. You don't tell it the steps to take. You just tell it sort of how you want your data to map into, you know, those visual properties.
Well, cool. So the D3 in 5 days and your the info stuff you're working on, what kind of gave you that idea? What sparked the interest in actually going out and doing that? Because I think a lot of people have that similar desire of, I know this thing, I should share this thing, I should capitalize on this thing.
Yeah. So it was really Egghead that sort of I feel like gave me a taste of, you know, sort of info products and sources of revenue that aren't, you know, I spent an hour today, so you're going to pay me X dollars for those 60 minutes I spent.
Right.
So I was thinking about this before we started talking. I think, I'm not positive, but I think I was the first egghead instructor that wasn't you or Joel. I believe so.
I think if you go to egghead.io/instructors and put in either /0 or /1, I think it's you.
Okay. So, I mean, that was at least 4 years ago now, maybe a little bit more than 4 years ago. And I think either you or Joel had specifically asked me to do a D3 video just because I guess I had somewhat of a reputation then as having known it. And D3 is sort of interesting in that it seems to pop up all the time on lists of, like, you know, when you're looking at a job posting, it's like, would be nice if you had this, you know, it's in the sort of the nice to haves, but not a lot of people seem to know it because it sort of has a reputation for being hard to learn, which it can be. But so anyway, that was sort of how I got into, you know, the idea of creating content. Was I created a short, probably terrible, if I went back and looked at it now, set of screencasts about D3, and they were pretty well received. And so, you know, I think I eventually expanded that into a course that I wasn't totally embarrassed by. And then I did other topics. But I sort of always came back to it as this, just again, this skill that seems to be pretty popular in terms of being sought out in the market, but not a ton of people have it. So the way that I've tackled that over the last 7 to 8 months is I started out by creating a free 5-day email course called d3in5days.com, where you just go there, you sign up, and then I'll send you sort of one lesson a day for 5 days. And my attempt is to sort of take a different approach to teaching the topic than people have traditionally taken and struggled with. And so I try and really break it down by sort of concept, because there's sort of two or three main concepts in D3 that once you understand those and get your head around those, it makes everything else a whole lot easier. But those few concepts are sort of unique enough in the front end space that if you haven't seen them before, they can be sort of hard to grasp.
Right, right. So after you had the idea, did you, what sort of research or what do you think you found that has worked the best? What's kind of, did you take some sort of bootstrap class? Is there something that's helped you along the way?
Yeah. So sort of when I got that taste from my early egghead stuff and was like, man, you know, I want to do this on my own, I started reading everything I could in sort of that bootstrapping space. You know, there's Amy Hoy and Brendan Dunn and Nick DeSabato and Jonathan Stark and, you know, all these people that sort of operate in that space and share their knowledge about sort of how to build those things. And, you know, I read everything I could get my hands on and spent a lot of time thinking and planning and reading. And, you know, then I looked up and it had been like 3 years and I basically hadn't accomplished anything, but I had read a lot of stuff. And, you know, I knew how I was going to scale my traffic and my marketing once I had all these customers, but the thing that was missing was actually content. And so
right.
Roundabout
that whole content and an audience. Yeah. Those two things are,
yeah, those are surprisingly important pieces of supporting yourself with content. But
why don't random people show up and give me money? I don't understand.
It's a mystery. But so, yeah, so and about halfway through 2017, somewhere around June, I was basically like, you know what, it's been long enough. If I don't do something now or, you know, in the next 6 months or so, I need to just like shelve it, because basically I'm just wasting my time and brain cycles, you know, thinking about all this stuff. And so I hired a private mentoring coach, sort of from that group of you know, experts that I was talking about.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I hired Jonathan Stark and did his private mentoring program. And, you know, the last 6 to 7 months have been the most productive in years for me, obviously. And that's sort of why I'm here now. So he, you know, I had gotten to the point where the problem for me was no longer a lack of information or knowing what the options were or how you could do these things. It was picking one. I was just like totally paralyzed with Do I create a book a book or an email course or a video course or a cheat sheet or a this, or, you know, you go through all these options and then it's like, well, you just got to pick one and do it. And so basically the first thing, once Jonathan sort of helped me choose D3 as, yes, I definitely want to go that way. You know, he sort of helped me vet that space and make sure that would make a good niche to focus on. Then he was basically like, okay, step one is do an email course. And like, I paid a lot of money for him to just tell me to do the email course, but like, just having somebody there to say, do this, and then after that, we're going to do this, and then you'll do this, this, and this, and hopefully that'll lead to this. Just having that there was super
cool. Right.
So
that's so amazing. That a mentor, just someone say, just make these decisions for me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me to do.
That's, yeah. Huh. And it's like,
so you recommend that?
Yeah. I mean, if you can afford it and you can sort of put the time into it. I was sort of lucky that I had a nice alignment of, I had enough funds to afford it, and I had sort of a work schedule coming up that was going to allow me to devote some time to my own stuff. That's, of course, always an option for everybody. It's like, when do you find the time? But I had been lucky enough to sort of have at least a few months lined up where I knew I wasn't going to be working 5 days a week for clients. I think some weeks were like 3 days and some were four. So I was like, all right, I have the time to do it. I have the money. Let's just take this last stab. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I'll give up on the whole info product idea. So, yeah, so I did what I was told and I created a 5-day email course. And then if, once people sort of complete that initial course, they move on to just sort of my regular email list. And I send out a weekly tip once a week. You know, it's like, it's usually 500 to 1,000 words, so it's not long, but it's a little tip that just basically tries to answer, you know, a question of how do I do X in 10 minutes or whatever. So I send out those weekly tips, and then sort of through some research and talking to my coach a little more and just sort of trying to observe some of the questions and things that you see in the wider learning community around D3, we sort of identified SVG knowledge as one of the pieces that was lacking as well, because a lot of front end developers, I think, don't really come across SVG a whole lot outside of, like, you know, you might have used like an SVG icon system or SVG fonts.
Copy and paste
or whatever.
From Stack Overflow.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of copy and pasting goes on in the SVG space.
Yeah.
And so we identified that as sort of a skill that is key to being productive with D3, but that a lot of people might not necessarily have. So the next identified sort of product to create was a book that covered sort of D3 as well as an introduction to SVG. So what I ended up with was a book that I basically just refer to as D3 with SVG. And it starts out, the first, I think, four chapters are sort of just an introduction to SVG and how it works, how it's different than regular markup and all those things. And then after that first half of the book is over, then we move into actually using D3 to create SVG, you know, programmatically rather than having to do it all by hand. And then sort of how you use those APIs to create common charts, like, you know, column charts and line charts and area charts and scatter plots.
Nothing like a scatter plot. That's a great word. Scatter plot.
Bubble chart. So just if you're not into the
right.
the technical term.
So just to confirm, you still own 100% of what you produce, right? As a hiring a mentor or a coach, you're just kind of paying them a monthly fee to help push you along. So it's not like you took on a business partner or anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just, you know, we had a call. I think he works exclusively in like 6-month chunks. So I did a 6-month, you know, mentoring program. And during that time we met every 2 weeks, and then, you know, we would trade emails and Slack messages and everything whenever. And then that biweekly call. But that was, you know, that's it. I definitely own everything I create, and he's just sort of there to, you know, provide advice and direction.
No, that's awesome. It blows my mind that I think so many people share that same story of, I've been sitting on this idea for years and years, and I know I can do it because I'm an expert, but I just don't, I can't make those decisions. And it just seems like such a, like you did, just the perfect thing to get past that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody's different. I think, you know, I think I often felt like, you know, what sort of personal deficiency do I have that, like, I know all this information, but I can't put any of it into action. But right. I just, you know, whatever it takes, man, if you really want to try something or get it out there, find whatever sort of cheat you have to get it done.
Right. For sure. So how did, in that same vein, how in the world did you actually finish a book? Because I know I've tried starting books before. I know lots of people who've taken advances on books and then they had to give advances back because, you know, they could never get it finished, or they had to hand it off to someone else. Like,
yeah.
How did you write a book, Ben? What's the secret?
Yeah, that's a nightmare scenario. And I've heard enough horror stories from traditionally published books that's not surprising to me. But I cringe every time. So I have also almost written a book before, probably a year and a half or so before I did this one. I wrote, 80% of a book, or I thought it was 80% of a book. But then when I sort of stepped back and looked at it, I was like, nobody's going to read that. Nobody cares. And, you know, I may not have been right about that. Maybe I should have just, you know, stuck the rest of it in there and hit publish and seen what happened, but I didn't. So this time, you know, obviously having a coach there to say, now it's time to write a book, do it on, help me decide what topic to do it on, that kind of thing. And I think I sort of wavered for a little while, or not wavered, but like, you know, I was making progress very slowly. And I think we got to a certain point and he basically said, when are you going to launch your book? And, you know, whatever my answer was, he was like, no, like what day? Because we need to pick a day and say that that's launch day. And, you know, that's what we're targeting. And so we did that. And I think I probably ended up writing the last half of the book, or the last 60% of the book, probably in the final like 3 weeks. And it was just another one of those things where I sort of had a good opportunity for it, because I think my client work had even gone down to 2 days a week at that point. So I had a lot of time available, and I basically just shut out the world during the day and said, I'm going to crank on this book. And actually I did a lot of the writing at night, sort of after everybody else goes to bed. I'm usually the last one up. And so I did a lot of writing at night, and then I would do things like editing and all the sort of support tasks around a book during the day. It's actually, that was one of the things that sort of blew my mind, was leading up to the launch. And, you know, when I launched the book, that's the first time I've ever actually sold a product. And so, like, on my own. And so
how did that first sale feel?
It was amazing. And it was like 10, like 10 minutes after I opened it. I had recruited a small list of people who wanted early access or were interested in the book from my existing list. And I launched to them, like, I think 2 weeks before, you know, the sort of the general public launch. But yeah, like 10 minutes after I sent out an email to, I don't know, whatever it was, 23 people or 42 people that had expressed interest, 10 minutes later, I had a sale. And I'm like, whoa, what is it? What is going on? Now, the public launch was not quite as exciting. I launched it and there were basically crickets until sort of some marketing activities caught up and things like that. But
still, the simple act of making something and then having someone else buy that thing you made. Mm-hmm. Like we don't really experience that much in the development world, where you're on a contract or consulting or whatever, you go in and you help build something with large teams and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're being told what to do, versus the Ben went out there, Ben decided to write a book on D3. Ben wrote a book on D3. He put it out there and someone bought it.
Like, yeah.
It's my idea at execution. That was all you, and someone decided that, you know, that was value.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty cool feeling. And that's a cool feeling. It's also an even better feeling when you get somebody that did that, you know, they sort of put the trust in you and were like, all right, I'm going to give you my money for something. And then they actually send you, you know, an email later and are like, hey, this thing's great, or I love it, or this really helps, or, you know, whatever. It's like, that's a cool feeling. And it's also a cool feeling to wake up and see an email that says, hey, you just made a little bit of money. And it's like, but I was just sleeping. I made money. I was asleep. That's great. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun and there's a lot of thrills to it. There's also a ton of like prep and support work that supporting work that goes in around it. Like, I was just sort of amazed when I launched it, like how many little tasks there were to do, right? Like, you got to pick what site are you going to sell it through and what site are you going to use for your email list and how are you going to follow up with buyers and how are you going to deliver the files and how are you going to send updates? And, you know, I mean, there's just like 150 tiny decisions to make and none of them are hard, but it's a totally different kind of workflow and work day. Yeah. Those couple of weeks.
Did you still have your mentor at that time to help make those choices?
I did. Yeah. Most of them were sort of, you know, I shouldn't even call them choices. They were just tasks. There was a couple of those choices, like, what are you going to use to sell it? He recommended SendOwl because that's what he used. That's what I picked. And it's been good. But then a lot of it's just like, oh yeah, I need that too. And I need that. And I got to go set that up and connect these things to these. And so it's a really different workflow. When I was in that like 2 or so week period where it was really all book stuff all day, it felt like a totally different experience than like spending the day writing code. Because instead of, you know, one or two sort of really deep tasks in a day, which was sort of always my best, you know, if I got two really big things solved in a day of programming, that's a pretty good day. Whereas this was like, I didn't get any big things done, but I literally got like 35 small things done. So that is sort of, you know, and I sort of ended up connecting it to, you know, I think part of the appeal for a lot of people in programming is all those little small wins and that they add up throughout the day. And you're like, oh, I got that to work. I got that to work. And this is sort of the same thing. It's like, oh, I've got that piece working and now I've got that in place and now I can do this with that. And there's a lot more to it than I sort of realized in the beginning.
Right. And I'm sure we were joking about automation before we started the podcast, but you were able to take some of your programming skills and at least the way you think about things to automate some of those things.
Yeah, that's been a good way to sort of scratch the programming itch while doing this more content-focused stuff, is like building little things for myself, which I've heard a lot of other people that start doing this kind of work say the same thing. But yeah, so I've sort of spent a little bit of time getting my content production process in place, because I felt like a lot of times when I set out to do things before, I would be sort of like nervous that I was gonna, like when you're writing content as opposed to developing code, for some reason I just feel less secure in like what's being produced, especially if you end up sending it somewhere. Like, say you write an email to a subset of your list and then you want to use that content somewhere else. It's like, where does the single source of truth end up being? And so I just had sort of a lot of stress about how was I going to set up this workflow so that it felt as solid to me as like working on code does. And so I basically just used a couple of off the shelf things and a little bit of homegrown stuff to sort of whip up something where essentially everything I do is all markdown source files. And then I've got this, you know, hodgepodge build process that essentially spits, you know, it can spit a single markdown file out into one HTML document that will get like sent through my email marketing software and sent to the list. And then it'll get turned into another page on my website that's, you know, got some different formatting and different layout and things like that. And so being able to scratch those kinds of itches has been a good way to not get totally, you know, rusty on the code while I'm neck deep in content stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go ahead and wrap up here. Would you like to pitch anything? Any links you want to shout out?
Yeah. So if you have wanted to add data visualization in general or D3 specifically to your skill set, d3in5days.com is a great place to start, in my totally unbiased opinion. It's both of the numbers there are actual numbers, so it's d3in5days. And you'll get one free email a day for 5 days. And then after that, you'll get a weekly tip for free. And I will only very occasionally bother you about things that you can actually buy from me.
Go buy Ben's stuff. It's awesome.
Thanks, John. It was fun.